Well, thank you very much for joining me. This morning, we are going to go ahead and jump right into our series on the book of Ruth. We're actually in week five of the book of Ruth, entitled Ruth, Love, Loyalty, and Redemption. Over the last several weeks, we've kind of laid some of the groundwork for this book and the story. We've talked about how Naomi and her family went off to Moab and how basically at that time her sons married some Moabite women and how basically all the guys passed away, to make the story short. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about how Naomi went back to Judah, back to Bethlehem, and that Ruth actually went with her. And we've talked about kind of all those types of things and how last week we kind of talked about how God will kind of position us for favor and how God desires to do that in our hearts and our lives. And today we're going to kind of begin to see the story shift a little bit. Obviously, over the next several weeks, we're going to kind of bring this all to a close. But we're going to kind of see how the story begins to move, because in a lot of ways, what we've seen, even though maybe we haven't realized it, God has already been moving the pieces around. He's already been shaping and forming situations and circumstances, even though Naomi had no idea, Ruth had no idea. And obviously, as we're going to see here in a little bit, especially over the next couple of weeks, Boaz had no idea. But yet God is still moving, God is still forming and putting things into place. And this morning we're going to maybe talking about something maybe that you maybe hadn't thought about before, but something that is very important to the story if we look at it. And that quite is simply is the kindness that Boaz shows Ruth. We're going to look at this because I think it's one of those things that can be very easily missed in the story. Sometimes when it comes to Ruth, we can kind of look at it and we can see a lot of the loyalty, the love, and the redemption side, especially the redemption that we're going to see over the next coming weeks. But we forget somewhat that Boaz, in a lot of ways, starts this because of the type of person that he is. And we're going to dive a little bit deeper into that, look a little bit deeper into that this morning. But before we jump in, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we do love you again. We thank you for this time. God, as we move into your word, God, I pray that you would open our hearts, that you would open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying and wanting to communicate to us. That, God, that my words would cease and that yours would begin. Because, God, that's ultimately what we need. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When I was just starting out in the youth program at my church growing up, now when I was younger, we didn't do sixth grade, we did seventh grade. We didn't have middle schools, we really had junior highs. And so for me, my first Sunday in big church, and I still call it big church, I always call it big church. This is big church, by the way, if you didn't know that. Okay? So just in case I ever say big church and you're like, what is he talking about? It's the main service, okay? I've been calling it that since I was five, and I'm not going to tell you how old I am now, but I'm just, why change, you know? So I remember it was my first Sunday in big church because, you know, back then, as today, you know, kind of when you started in the youth group, you kind of left kids' church, and you went to big church. And I remember we went to a rather large, especially at the time, church back in Kansas City. And so I remember walking in, and I don't know if you remember this, because for some of you that maybe have been a little bit more in my age bracket, maybe a little bit older, you remember that AG churches used to have a very, like, I don't know if it came from Springfield, like you had to have a color scheme of either like maroon, blue, burnt orange, or like a mustard yellow. I mean, it was like law or green. Oh, the green. Remember the green? Oh, Lord. I remember as a kid thinking God must be colorblind. I mean, because that was, oh boy. And we had the maroon, you know, we had the pews and all this sort of stuff. And it was a larger sanctuary, and at least especially as a kid, you know what I mean? And so there was one section that was the youth section. And that's where the youth sat. And it was kind of up front. And at the time, I didn't understand it. Now I understand the reason they put us there was because all the parents were behind us and the pastor was in front of us. You know? And I remember literally like parents walking down to their children and basically saying, you may not survive the service if you continue to do what you're doing, you know? And so I remember that was our section. And so I remember going down. Now, again, I had just finished sixth grade, so I was a little bit older than some of the youth that come up now, but it was the summer, and so it was kind of June or so of that year. And because of just the way it fell, and sometimes this just happens, basically my age group, the group moving into youth group, there was about seven girls and one guy. Guess who the guy just happened to be? all my friends, actually, that I hung out with, you know, were actually a year younger. And so I remember going into big church all alone, scared half to death, not understanding anything in a lot of ways, and just kind of being like, this is my first big church Sunday. And I walked in, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to set. I just kind of plopped down kind of all by myself about the second row from the front. And I'm sitting there, and I obviously have no idea what's going to happen. And, you know, scared, nervous, not quite sure. And then all of a sudden, I hear, "Hey, Nash." And I'm like, I am not turning around. I'm not, I mean, there's not, nothing's good going to come of this. And I just sit there, and I, "Hey, Nash." Slowly I turn, you know, look back behind me. And at the very back, the very last row of this youth section were basically all the seniors, or they were going to be seniors in the fall. And there was about five or six of these older kids. And one that was kind of the ringleader, you know, kind of, I mean, I guess, said, "What are you doing up there?" And I'm going, I quit. I'm going to go back to kids' church. I don't care. I'll hide. I'll do something. I don't know. And I kind of turned around. I said, "Sitting?" He said, "Why are you there by yourself?" And I'm going, I didn't know that there was going to be this many questions in big church. And I said, "Oh, I don't know." And I remember he looked down the row, and I'm thinking he's going to grab them all, and they're all going to come down and do something horrible to me. Take me to the baptism, you know, dunk me, I don't know. He said, "Come back here and sit with us." He said, "Guys, scoot down." And they scooted down. And then that first Sunday, I sat with the big kids. And you know what? I sat there the rest of the time. My entire life of being in big church at that church, from basically sixth grade on to a senior in high school, I had a seat in church. The kindness changed my life. You see, it's funny because we don't always think about the power of kindness. And I use that word on purpose. It's so easy for us to go about our lives and forget the power that God has really given us. Like a lot of times we want to focus in on other types of gifts or other types of fruit of the Spirit when we forget the power that kindness really can play in the lives of people. It literally changed my life. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a weird way to put it, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. I don't know. I don't know if I would be standing here if there wasn't a junior going to be a senior in high school who looked up, saw me, didn't have to care about me in the least, and just simply said, "I don't want you to sit alone. Come sit by me." It changed me. I felt like I mattered. I felt like I wasn't invisible. I felt like somebody actually cared about me. He didn't have to do that. Lord knows I figured he was going to do something horrible to me. But he did something kind, and it changed my life. It's a shame because in our world today, when you begin to look at it, so much of it is going away from the simple acts of kindness that used to be so prevalent in our world. And I think the reason why that is for some of us, we become so focused in on what we need, what we want, or what will benefit us that we have forgotten the power of just being kind to one another. Just being kind. Just doing something out of the kindness of our hearts, because quite honestly, we have experienced the kindness of a loving Creator and a loving God who sent His only Son for you and for me. You see, Boaz didn't have to do the things that we're going to see him do in these verses. We sometimes can forget that. We can sometimes look at the end of the story or even go even further into the future and go, "Wow, isn't it wonderful that this happens and this causes this to happen?" And then Jesse is born, and then David's born, and ultimately it leads to the birth of our Savior. We forget that sometimes the things that can make the biggest difference can be seem so small and insignificant in the moment. But yet God can use those things to do great and mighty things, not just in the moment, but literally can change the course of our lives. Let's look at this together. We're going to read a little bit more scripture than we have in the past, but let's open our Bibles to Ruth 2. We're going to start with verse number 8, and we're going to go through verse number 23, okay? So let's jump in here. Now, let me give you a little background. Maybe you weren't here last week, but last week, basically, Ruth goes to Boaz's field. We talked about how, basically, she just kind of shows up. You know, it wasn't a coincidence. We know that. But basically, we know that she shows up in his field, and he does notice her. The foreman's there, and basically, she's picking up what the scraps of what's left behind from the workers, okay, so that she has something to eat. We kind of talked about those things last week. So we're going to pick up the story here, verse number 8, and here's what it says. It says, Boaz went over to Ruth and said, "Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us when you gather grain. Don't go to any other fields. Stay right behind the young women working in my field. See which part of the field they are harvesting and then follow them. I have warned the young men not to treat you roughly, and when you are thirsty, help yourself to the water they have drawn from the well." Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. "What have I done to deserve such kindness?" she asked. "I am only a foreigner." "Yes, I know," Boaz replied, "but I also know everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wing you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done." "I hope I continue to please you, sir," she replied. "You have comforted me by speaking so kindly to me, even though I am not one of your workers." At mealtime, Boaz called to her, "Come over here and help yourself to some food. You can dip your bread in the sour wine." So she sat with his harvesters, and Boaz gave her some roasted grain to eat. She ate all she wanted and still had some left over. When Ruth went back to work again, Boaz ordered his young men, "Let her gather grain right among the sheaves without stopping her, and pull out some heads of barley from the bundles and drop them on purpose for her. Let her pick them up and don't give her a hard time." So Ruth gathered barley there all day, and she went. And when she beat out the grain that evening, it filled an entire basket. She carried it back to town and showed it to her mother-in-law. Ruth also gave her the roasted grain that was left over from her meal. "Where did you gather all this grain today?" Naomi asked. "Where did you work? May the Lord bless the one who helped you." So Ruth told her mother-in-law about the man in whose field she had worked. She said, "The man I worked with today is named Boaz." "May the Lord bless him," Naomi told her daughter-in-law. "He is showing his kindness to us as well as to your dead husband. That man is one of our closest relatives, one of our family redeemers." Then Ruth said, "What's more, Boaz even told me to come back and stay with his harvesters until the entire harvest is completed." "Good," Naomi exclaimed. "Do as he said, my daughter. Stay with his young women right through the whole harvest. You might be harassed in other fields, but you'll be safe with him." So Ruth worked alongside the women in Boaz's fields and gathered grain with them until the end of the barley harvest. There she continued working with them through the wheat harvest in early summer, and all the while she lived with her mother-in-law. What a great story. What an amazing amount of kindness that Boaz shows. He doesn't have to do this. Now remember who Ruth is, and remember who Boaz is. Boaz is wealthy. Boaz has basically a lot of people working for him. He is not necessarily needing to see this young lady who's a foreigner who doesn't really fit in. And yet he is kind to her. He takes care of her. He speaks kindly to her. And he actually begins to lay the groundwork for the difference and the things that God is going to bring forth in the future. But here's the thing. Boaz doesn't know this. Boaz doesn't sit there and go, "Okay, here's the plan. I'm going to be real nice to this young lady so that later on some good stuff can happen." He just sees her. He just responds to her. He just shows kindness. You see, here's the thing that we understand or can't understand about this, about who Boaz is. Boaz is just a kind person. You see, a lot of us, we want to force kindness to come out. We want to sit there and go, "I'm going to be kind even though I don't want to be kind. I don't like being kind, but somehow I'll be kind. Look how kind I am." You know, it's interesting. We've talked about this before, that this is a fruit of the Spirit. You know, one of the things that we enjoy doing as a family is we go to an apple orchard every year. and we get apples. Now, we don't get to pick them because, you know, that's different. But when I was a kid, you used to. And I have never, ever, ever, and I've told you this before, I've never heard fruit orchards straining to produce fruit. It's what comes naturally. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you are struggling with kindness, it might be that you've kind of disconnected yourself from Jesus. And that may seem a little harsh. But kindness should come naturally. We see that in Boaz. Now, here's the deal. I'm not going to sit up here and act like I'm always kind. I'm not. But I hope that as I'm becoming more and more like Jesus, his kindness is rubbing off on me so that it comes naturally out of my heart. We see that in Boaz's life. We see him basically just sharing the kindness that maybe he's experienced from the Lord, maybe he's experienced from others, but it's coming out of him in a very natural way. But not just that, I want to help us this morning to be a people that show kindness more freely, more openly, and really to allow God to use the power that kindness can produce in the lives of people to make an impact in our world, in our families, in our community, in our church. So this morning, we're going to look at three keys. And there's more than this, but just three this morning. Three keys to showing kindness that we see in the life of Boaz from our text this morning. Number one, Boaz notices Ruth. He notices Ruth. Kindness sees and acknowledges those who are often unnoticed. Sees and acknowledges. Look here, Ruth 2:8. It says, Boaz went over and said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us when you gather grain. Don't go to other fields. Stay right behind the young women working in my fields." You see, unfortunately, we sometimes can miss the opportunity to show kindness to each other because we don't take the time to see each other. We spend our time focused on our world, our lives, or our phones. And we miss the opportunity to acknowledge people in our world. There's so many times, I look at statistics all the time, I look at what culture's saying, what's going on in the church, and one of the things that is growing more and more and more over the last 20 years that I've ever seen is people feel like they are invisible. And I never understood that. Like, I remember like seeing that in some of these things early on. I'm like, what does that even mean, invisible? And then I begin to go out to restaurants and begin to look at people sitting at a dinner table with their face in their phones and the person kind of looking around just like, well, what do I do? And then I begin to understand maybe what that might feel like a little bit. How people are just missed. How because of our life and our lifestyles and the busyness that we sometimes put in our lives that our children sometimes feel like they're invisible. It's so easy to come home and we've been working all day and we've experienced all this stuff and maybe we just need a moment to sit down and take a break. But then after those moments, we grab our phones or we grab Netflix or we grab other things and our kids are screaming for a little kindness and a little attention. They need that in their hearts and their lives. But if we're not willing to acknowledge them, if we're not willing to see them, if we're not willing to make an impact in their lives, then we're missing an opportunity to literally change their moment and their destiny. And you listen, it's real easy to hear this and go, oh, come on, Aaron, really? Is a word going to matter that much? Yep, it can. It really can. Now, your words, not so much. But with God's word speaking through you, it'll change everything. It'll change everything. And sometimes we'll miss that and forget that. But Boaz notices her. And here's the deal. Here's the thing you need to understand that sometimes can be very easy because we'll sometimes acknowledge people, but we'll do it in the wrong way. This is important. Kindness starts when we acknowledge people, not their problems or mistakes, but their worth. You see, sometimes it's real easy to notice all the oopses of people. And so I noticed my kids because I told them all the horrible things they did today. I told them their room wasn't clean. I told them they didn't do so well on the test. I told them they struck out in the ball game. I told them they should have done this or should have done that. Instead of saying, you know what? You matter more than if you struck out or hit a home run. You matter more than if your room is always clean. You matter more to me than the grade. You see, for some of us, we're good at acknowledging and noticing people's mistakes and problems, but we don't always notice their worth. I am so thankful that although God is completely aware of my mistakes, of my sin, of my faults, he still looks at me and calls me his son. Amen. And that he loves me. And that he has a purpose and a plan for my life. You see, Jesus was absolutely incredible at this. He shows us in so many stories, but one of the great ones is found in John 4. In John 4, it's the story of the woman at the well. And what's interesting about this story is you really have someone who basically is kind of experienced the gamut of all this stuff. She's coming to the well at a specific time. It's in there, if you're in the scripture, if you want to look at it, if you want to see this whole story. We're going to get to scripture in a minute. But she goes to the well at an interesting time. She goes when the other women aren't going to be there. So she's going at a weird time. She's already, got some problems in that culture. She's a Samaritan woman. She's been married, I think, 5 times. I mean, she's got a lot of baggage, folks. She's got a lot of things here. And basically, she goes, and Jesus looks at her and says, "Will you give me something to drink?" And her response is very interesting, because her response is very much like, listen, I'm not going to let you in. I'm going to keep you away. I'm going to argue with you. I mean, look at the scripture. I mean, basically she says, well, your people say this, my people say this, and all these sort of things. And Jesus begins just to have this conversation with her. In a lot of ways, he basically says, like, you're not even supposed to talk to me. And yet you're showing kindness to me. You're offering me something. Because Jesus says, listen, if you're thirsty, I can give you a lot better water than what's in this well. He doesn't look at her and say, well, sorry, you don't fit in. Sorry, you've all had all these mess ups. Now, here's what's interesting. Jesus acknowledges the mess ups. He's completely aware of them. He doesn't say, oh, you mean you've been married 5 times? I had no idea. He doesn't allow her to shift the conversation into an argument, even though she's trying to. He's simply kind to her. He simply cares for her. He simply offers, this is important, he offers himself to her. He says, if you knew the person who is offering you this water, you'd take it. Because here's what's interesting. Like we go, well, wasn't that normal at the time? Absolutely not. This was a Samaritan. Even his disciples come back and they're shocked. Like, you're talking to her? Like, they're kind of blown away. I mean, this is early in his ministry, and they're like, what have we gotten ourselves into? And he's kind to her. And listen to how the story doesn't necessarily end here, but this section of the story, listen here. John 4, 28 through 30, this is what it says. The woman left her water jar beside the well. Listen. I want us to have such disruptive kindness. God has called us to have such disruptive kindness that the things that we say and the things that we do for people will literally cause them to leave their water jug behind. Like, that's the type of power that kindness can have in people's lives. She was there to get water. Because of what Jesus did in her life, she left the jug behind. She ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. You see, the power of kindness, the disruptiveness of kindness can literally not just change this woman's life, but it changed the village's life as well. She was like, I can't believe this. Someone cared for me. Listen, you know what she's saying here? Because who's she speaking to? She's speaking to the village. The village that knows it all. The village that she won't go to the well during a certain time because the women in the village are going to talk. She goes and says, you know what? He was kind to me anyway. He loved me anyway. He cared for me anyway. He knew everything. It's basically, you know what she was basically saying? I had nothing to give, and he gave it all. You see, kindness is interesting because for some of us, we will show kindness, we will notice people when it benefits us. What we see in the story of Boaz, the story of Jesus here, is there was no benefit for them other than really for Jesus especially, it was the soul and the life of the woman. And you go, oh, well, isn't that more important? Huh? Yeah, it is. Did you get it? But yet we'll withhold kindness even though it can literally change someone's eternal destiny. As it did with her. So we have to understand that. We have to be, our eyes need to be open. And we need to acknowledge. Number two, Boaz spoke life into Ruth. Our words have power. Listen, I know that there's times, and maybe I only realize this or see this because I can sometimes look back over the messages that I've shared over the years. And sometimes I feel like, well, I talk about words a lot. And then I don't feel so bad because I realize the Bible does too. And until at least I'm able to control my tongue, maybe we should keep talking about it. His power, there were power in his words. Listen to what Ruth here says, 2:11, go through verse 13. It says, "Yes, I know," Boaz replied, "but I also know everything you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I've heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done." Look at verse 13. "I hope to continue to please you, sir," she replied. "You have comforted me by speaking so kindly to me, even though I'm not one of your workers." You know what's interesting about that last little verse? I kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier, so let's keep that up there for just a second. She says, "You have comforted me by speaking so kindly to me." And then she says, "even though I'm not one of your workers." You know what Ruth is saying here? You have spoken kindly to me, even though it will benefit you in no way, shape, or form. She said, unbelievable. You were kind to me. Our words matter. Our words have power. Our words can change everything. Listen, you need to understand this, okay? Sometimes we can forget this, okay? If we go back to Genesis 1, we see something very interesting. We see the Lord and God of all creation speak and things happen. He says, "Let there be light," and there's light, okay? You get the story. We know the story, okay? But the story doesn't end there. We need to understand this. After that has taken place, a couple days pass, and then all of a sudden he goes with his son and with the Spirit and says, "Let us create man in our own image." And that means so many different things. But one thing it means is if God's power can be expressed through his words, and if we're made in the image of God, so can ours. Now, to the extent, of course not. I can't speak and the world becomes different. Or I can't speak and oceans come forth. But if I'm made in the image of God, my words have power too. They can create or they can destroy. And that's what Scripture tells us. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue can bring death or life, and those who love to talk will reap its consequences. You have the power in your tongue to make an impact or change the life of an individual. And here's the thing, we need to stop for just a second and understand. Can you please help me to remember this? Because this is one of those things that can be so easy to forget because we live with them. And they're always there. And because they see us at our best, and unfortunately sometimes they see it at our worst. What are your words in your home to each other? To your spouse, to your kids, to your parents. I remember as a kid, you know, and again, different world, maybe different time, whatever. I remember, and because we're almost there, I'm excited. Almost Christmas time. 46 days. I'm not joking. I looked this morning. Okay. And I remember one of the things, I went to the theater, saw it in the theater. Age and myself don't care. Went and saw Home Alone. Yeah. We watch Home Alone every year. Love Home Alone. And I remember I went because my mom and my brother went first because I think he had a doctor's appointment or something. Doesn't matter. Anyway, and they came back like, we got to all go see this movie. It was so great. And so the whole family went and saw it. And I remember it was like 88, 89. So I'm like in fifth, sixth grade, something like that. And I'm watching it. And if you've seen the movie, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Where Kevin gets sent upstairs. And the words and the language and the tone he uses to his mother, if you don't think, if you watch it this year, when he's getting ready to go to the basement, or the attic, I remember watching that and being like, ooh. I'm like, if I ever spoke like that to my mother, I would not sit down for 10 years. I mean, yeah. like scared to death, like oh boy, I didn't know, because I was rated PG, and I was like, boy, I don't know how the PG-rated movie would survive the censors, knowing that this kid is now going to die on screen. I mean, for speaking this way. And she just kind of takes it, you know, and I just remember going, oh my goodness. And folks, it hadn't gotten any better. And so kids, watch your tone. Watch how you respond to your parents. I mean, we can get into all the scriptures. And parents, watch your tone. Watch what you say. Because your words matter. And here's the thing that we need to understand. And this isn't to scare us, it is to make us aware. Look at Matthew 12, 36 through 37. Jesus is speaking. And he says this, and I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. Yes. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. That's some powerful words from Jesus. And Jesus is trying to help us understand, listen, he's basically going back to Proverbs and saying there's power in your words, life or death, blessings or cursings. This matters. And it's amazing because in some ways, Boaz, who doesn't have to do this, speaks kindly to her. He basically says, man, I've seen you. He encourages her. You know what he says? He says, man, I know what you've done. Listen, I don't know about you. I've had enough people that tell me what I've done wrong. And usually it starts with me. Why don't we be a people that can say, you know what? I caught you. I caught you doing something amazing. And tell people about it. Communicate that. Look at our kids, look at our spouse and say, you know what? I saw what you did. I saw how you would have handled that 2 weeks ago, but I've seen your growth in the Lord and I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. I'm so excited about what God is doing in your life. I know that God has great plans and great purposes for you. And we begin to speak those things. We begin to speak life into each other. Listen, some of you do a great job here on Sunday speaking life to the people that you see here on Sunday, and some of you need to go home and do the same there too. Well, but then, listen, I remember I had somebody say this once to me. My wife knows that I love her. Really? Why is that? I told her once. And I told, literally, heard this guy say, and if that changes, I'll let her know. I wanted to, Listen, I'm just going to be as blunt as I can be. That's not the love of Jesus. And for some of us, we need to be reminded. And listen, I need to be reminded too. Because we get busy, we get tired, we lash out, and we forget that our words can bring death or they can bring life. Because here's the deal. Here's what we need to understand. What you choose to speak today might be the thing that changes someone's life tomorrow. It literally has that power. It literally can make those things happen. So Boaz shows us a couple keys. He shows us that we need to be aware. We need to notice. We need to make sure that our eyes are always looking around for those that might need to be encouraged because they feel abandoned or they feel neglected or they feel invisible. He teaches us that the words that we use actually matter. But here's the thing you and I really need to understand. Those are great keys, but they're not always enough. Number three, Boaz actually helps Ruth. Our actions matter. Okay? Our actions matter. Look here. Look at Ruth 2, 15 through 16. Listen to what he does. He says, when Ruth went back to work again, Boaz ordered his young men, let her gather the grain right among the sheaves without stopping her, and pull out some of the heads of barley from the bundles and drop them on purpose for her. Let her pick them up and don't give her a hard time. I remember one of the things that we did in our church growing up that was really a part of the girls' program was something called missionettes. It was basically, Girl Scouts for Christian girls, I guess. That's not the right way to put it. But it was basically a group that the girls would do. And one of the things that they would focus in on is they'd focus in on the book of Ruth. Okay? And they did other things, obviously, but one thing they did, they focused on the book of Ruth. And I remember at a time when basically I was just beginning to understand that girls were starting to get a little on the pretty side. Okay? Like they weren't icky anymore. It's like, hey, you know, like, how you doing? You know, like, you know, that's probably the way I sounded a little bit too, squeaky. And all of a sudden, I remember we had Royal Rangers and Missionettes on Wednesday night, and basically some of these girls about my age came out, and boy, they stars in their eyes. Boaz. Oh, Boaz. I want to meet a boy like Boaz. I'm going, who in the world is Boaz? You know, I don't know Bo Jackson, but I don't know Boaz, you know. I'm like, why would you want to meet a guy named Boaz? That's weird. And I never understood until I got a little bit older and started reading about Boaz. And I realized, yeah, absolutely. A girl would be smart to want a guy like Boaz. Why? The kindness that he shows. He takes care of her. He doesn't have to. He's not going to gain anything out of the equation in a lot of ways. He basically does what he can because he can. Now listen, we prayed this morning about some people in the Philippines. Now listen, I would love to say, yeah, listen, I'm going to finish up this and then I'm going to go spend the money and I'm going to fly to the Philippines and help. But I can't do that. I can't do it financially and I have responsibilities here. So in some ways, we have to realize there's some things we can't always do. But listen, here's what I've learned. There is always something we can do. So you may not be able to go all the way over there, but like I said, there may be someone in this church or in your workplace or at your school and in your home that you can say, you know what? I can make a difference. I can actually help. Because a lot of times, listen, we're real good at this, folks. Let's be honest. Somebody's going through something. I feel it. I feel you. I'll pray for you. And sometimes, and that's great. Listen, that's great. But sometimes God says, you know what? We need to be willing to do a little bit more. Just because we acknowledged, just because we may speak some kind words, and those are great things. I'm not belittling those things. But sometimes it needs to kind of get our hands a little bit dirty. And it needs to cost us a little bit of something. We see this obviously in the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke that Jesus tells. You know the story. It's about a man who basically falls among robbers, and a Levite and a priest. They see him, they acknowledge him, but they don't care. They just keep going on. And then a Samaritan comes up. Listen to what the Samaritan does in verse number 33 of Luke 10. It says, then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Now, wasn't that wonderful? That's good. He acknowledged, he saw, he's feeling compassion. Oh, this poor guy. But what makes his story different from the Levite and the priest, quite honestly, people that should have known better, is verse number 34. Going over to him, the Samaritan smoothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where they took care of him. Let's keep going. It's all right. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, this is the question that Jesus asks after this story, and this is important, because when Jesus asks a question, there's a reason. We better pay attention. Which of these three, meaning the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? All this story starts because somebody says, who's my neighbor? Basically, who do I need to care for? Who do I need to take care of? Who do I need to speak kindly to and take care and do these things? And basically, he says, listen, this is the example. Yeah, he sees. Yeah, he acknowledges. Yeah, he has compassion. All those things are great. They're a great part of this story and a great part of what we should do. But here's the thing. It took the man to get off his own donkey to make a difference in the life of the man in the dirt. You see, for some of us, we're not willing to get off our donkey. We're willing to acknowledge, oh, I'll pray for you. Oh, I'm so sorry that's going on in your life. But you know what? We won't bring a casserole over. We won't be willing to sit with somebody who's going through a hard, difficult time. We won't be able to look at somebody and say, you know what? I can make a difference here and I'm going to do it. You know, and you can't always do that. You know, what's interesting about the story, I think you need to notice this.
he doesn't stay with him at the end. Like, he's got places to go too. But he doesn't just leave him there. He says, listen, I got to go. I've done all I can do right now. But listen, he goes to the innkeeper and says, listen, if there's any other bill, I'll take care of it. You let me know and I got it. So it's interesting here because in this story, I mean, wouldn't you think the story would have been a little bit better? And he sat there by his bedside giving him chicken noodle soup till he was recovered. You know, I don't think Jesus does that because he could have. It's his story. I don't think Jesus does that for this reason. He says, basically, listen, he was doing what he could in the moment that he could, but he didn't just say, even though I got to go and I have other responsibilities, that I'm going to leave this one behind. It's a really cool story in that way. And for some of us, we kind of just want to do the minimum. When God says, you know what? I've called you to do something great. Why? Because we've all experienced these things as believers. We've experienced these things. You see, as recipients of Jesus' kindness, love, and grace, we should desire, not feel obligated, not feel like we have to, desire to give those things to others. So we should be asking the question, who can I help today? Who can I help today? Who can I make an impact to today? And listen, here's the thing. It may be a smile at the Walmart checkout. It may be a kind word to a teacher or parent. It may be to look at a spouse and say, man, I really appreciate you, and I appreciate all that you do for me and our family. You take such good care of us. I'm so thankful that you're in our lives. These words that have power, these words that bring life. But here's the deal. If we're so self-absorbed, we're going to miss them. We're going to miss them. Now, here's the thing I want us to understand. Because I know when we talk about something like this, it's very easy to have a situation where we kind of, well, Aaron, I understand that. Yes, I need to be kind to this person or that person. I got that. But you know what, Aaron, just being honest. And here's the deal. I appreciate honesty. I need people to be kind to me too. I mean, I've heard that. You know, I've been so kind to my kids, and they're so mean to me, and they're so horrible. I've been so kind to my spouse, and they're so horrible, and they're so mean, and they still say mean things. And you know what? That hurts. I'm not telling you it doesn't. It hurts, and it's not fun. But what I have learned in life is a simple principle that is based in the power and the authority of Scripture that we need to understand. So if you're sitting there and going, you know what, Aaron, I need some kindness for me, I'm going to tell you to do what someone very wise told me to do years ago that literally changed my life. And it's simply this: whatever you need in life, you should be giving away. You say you want kindness, be kind to others. You want to be loved, love others unconditionally. You want patience, be patient with other people. Now you go, Aaron, I don't understand that. How is that going to make an impact in my life? It's simple, because we have to understand the concept that biblically we get from the Lord when it comes to the idea of reaping and sowing. Okay, this is a biblical concept. This is just as vital to our understanding in a lot of ways of everything else the Scripture can tell us about how to live our lives. Look at Galatians 6, 7, and then we're going to jump to verse number 8. Paul says, don't be misled. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Always harvest what you plant. You will reap what you sow. You want love? Plant it in other people's life. You want kindness? Plant it in other people's lives. You want patience? Plant it in other people's lives. And you go, but Aaron, I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know this. Then I'm going to ask you a simple question. Do you trust the promises of God? Because this is what God's word says. I mean, I can't make it any more simple than that. You either believe God's promises in this way or you don't. And here's the deal. This doesn't necessarily, and we'll get to verse 9 in a second, it doesn't necessarily have a time clock related to it. And I wish it did, you know? I wish I could say, okay, because here's the deal. If you plant a tomato plant in the spring, You have a basic idea if it's growing and healthy when you're going to get some tomatoes. In God's economy, sometimes it takes a lot longer than we like for the harvest to come. But one thing you have got to understand, the harvest will always come. Always come. I can't tell you when, I can't tell you how, I can't tell you if it'll even come back and reciprocate from the person that you're showing kindness to. But it'll come. It always does. So he continues, jumping to verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Love this. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. You say, Aaron, I need kindness in my life. I need my kids to be kind. I need my parents to be kind. Okay, I get it. I get it. We all want that. It's not a problem to want that. Start giving it to them. Start giving it back. Start understanding the concept of reaping and sowing that God gives us in His Word. You see, for some of us, we refuse to be kind or loving to people because they're not kind and loving to us. And yet we have a Jesus who says, love your enemies. Do good to those who curse you. Don't repay evil with evil. Repay evil with good. Now you go, Aaron, I don't know if I can do that. And I'm going to lovingly look at you and say, you're exactly right. You need Jesus to do that. I need Jesus to do that. It's hard. It's not easy. But Jesus can empower us to help us to be more and more like Him. And in that, we can reap a harvest at just the right time. So you want that in your life? I want it in my life too. So I got to be understanding the idea of the principle of the reaping and the harvest, of the sowing and the reaping that God has. You know, this is kind of one of those messages that, you know, you kind of go, okay, well, yeah, is this really, you know, I mean, it's good. And here's the deal. It really begins to lay the groundwork for next week and the week following. You know, the title of this series is Love, Loyalty, and Redemption. And what's amazing is we've seen some love. We've seen some loyalty. We haven't even got to the redemption part yet. I mean, the next 2 weeks is going to be good because we're going to get to the redemption. Because if you don't know this, listen, Boaz, he's a foreshadowing of our Jesus. And it's awesome. I was excited about sharing kindness, but I'm like, hey, let's get to next week, you know? Like, it's going to be good. But at the same time, this is laying the groundwork for the redemption work that Jesus and God do in our lives. You know, the scripture tells us that, you know, it draws us to repentance. His loving kindness. You know what can make an impact in the lives of people? Your loving kindness. And is it easy? I don't know. Or no, I know it's not easy all the time, but it's something that God can do it. And here's the thing. Here's the thing that literally, as I was putting these things together this week, that just kept coming over and over and over in my head that I want to leave you with this morning. One act of kindness can change everything. And so me speaking from me, I wonder today what your act of kindness might set into motion. Like I sit here and I look at you and I go, oh my goodness. Can you imagine the lives that are going to be changed, the families that are going to be changed, the workplaces, the schools, the communities, the churches that are going to be changed by people who make a decision to just be kind to each other? To basically say, no, I'm going to actually do this. And here's the deal. I maybe should have talked to him about this before, but this just came to my mind. And so I'm just going to say the Lord's put this in my mind. But I was talking to Josh about something about this recently. And if you don't know, Josh is a manager at one of the Christian Brothers and does a great job and all these sort of things. And boy, he was kind of going through a little bit of a season where it was kind of hard. People were kind of being mean, to be honest with you. And it kind of, me is kind of like, you know, look at Josh and me, you know, like I'm kind of getting puffed up. I'm getting a little upset. Like I don't like the people are treating him like that. And a couple weeks ago, he said, you know, we just started being kind to people. We just decided, you know what, no matter what comes, we're just going to be kind. And he said, it just changed everything. It just changed. Now listen, are there still times people are jerks? Yep. And what ended up happening, though, was it changed Josh, it changed his team, and it changed the people that walked in. Why? Because he was kind. And here's what's great. He has no idea. He has no idea how God's going to use that and is using that. We're going to get in eternity one day, and I really believe this, Josh. He's going to grab you and he's going to pull you aside. He's going to say, you remember that car? You know, that was like that wasn't that big of a deal, the brakes that needed to be fixed or whatever. You know, that person was in a really, really, really hard time in their life. And they weren't lashing out at you, Josh. They were just mad at the world. And you were the easy target. And you showed kindness to them. You didn't repay evil for evil. And he said, they walked out of there and they were still mad. But you know what? Because of that, because of those kind words, I began to move in their hearts. And I want to introduce you to this person who was so mean to you, who is now in eternity, because you were kind to them at a garage to fix their car. Sometimes we forget the power of our God and what he can do through people who are willing to be used by him. You know, I love our missionaries. They're wonderful. They're back there on the board. If you want more information about them, I'll let you know. They work and awesome and doing a great job. You realize that you don't have to go to those places to make an impact for Jesus. You don't have to go to Bible college and become a pastor. You can just be someone who's loving and kind to each other in your home and in your workplace and in your school and in the restaurant or wherever you go. It can change people's lives, especially today. So if you will, let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's focus for a minute. As we kind of bring all this down for a close, I want to ask you a simple question, and I really, truly want you to have an answer, okay? I know sometimes, you know, we kind of, okay, I'm turning Aaron off right now. I'm ready to go to lunch, but this is important because I truly believe this is an important part of the service because I truly believe and have been praying for this, that this morning, if you ask, that God will give you one person. And here's the deal. Like, it's easy to go, oh, I'm going to think about my wife or my husband. And listen, if that's who God speaks to your heart, then that's great. But I want you to be open for maybe the person you're not expecting. Because here's what I've learned. People put on masks a lot. And they say they're fine. But inside, their world is crumbling. And maybe that person that you don't even know is going through those moments, God's going to speak to you and say, I want you to speak just kind to them. Maybe for some of you, you're going to be told who to be kind to, and you're going to turn your nose up. You're going to go, that person doesn't deserve it. You know, and when we say that, let's kind of remember, if we can, that we didn't deserve Jesus' kindness and love either. I mean, I'm just be honest. But I truly believe that if we ask today, that there is a person specifically that the Holy Spirit is going to put in our hearts. And here's the deal. Sometimes we can get so wrapped up in the 99 that we miss the one. So let's just start with the one today. Jesus says about the shepherd, he leaves the 99, he goes and gets the one because the one matters. They have worth. So let's just start with the one. Now here's the deal. Let's also be kind to our family. And again, if God speaks specifically about a kid or a spouse or whatever, then obviously I don't want to put him in a box in that. But I want us to be open to whoever. And God may say, well, you don't know them yet, but it'll be at the restaurant. It'll be your waiter or waitress today. I don't know. He can do lots of great, mighty things if we'll open our hearts to him and listen. But one of the reasons I'm so excited and looking forward to how God is going to use you is because I truly believe God is going to give every person who asks that person. And I'm not saying it's going to be for the next 3 years. You're going to just be aware. Notice them, okay? Notice that person. Be aware. Maybe it's somebody you work with and you don't see them every moment of the day, but you see them around. And so you need to be aware of them and be focused on them when you see them.
And after you've acknowledged that, you need to speak life into their hearts and in their lives. You need to speak life. You need to encourage. You need to be kind. You need to do those things. And then you need to let your actions back up your words. Okay? Do what you can when you can. I don't know what that looks like, as everybody's different and everybody's in a different spot. But if we can do, listen. I believe if we can grab these three keys and apply them to our lives, especially with the person that God is going to place in our hearts, I think we're going to be blown away of what God's going to do. I really do. And so if you're open to that and you say, you know what, God, I want the power of kindness to flow through my life. I want, even though maybe I need some kindness for me, I'm going to rest on the promise of reaping and sowing, and I'm going to give out what I want. I'm going to give out what I need. But whatever it is, whoever it is, we're going to pray. And I want you to pray, as I'm praying, that God will, and maybe some of you, you're like, Aaron, stop talking. I already know my person. But maybe some of you don't. But if you don't, I want you to ask the Lord. Every single, from the youngest to the oldest, we can all make an impact with kindness for somebody. And here's the deal. Listen, can I just be honest with you? Our world is so devoid of kindness. And I'm just going to be as blunt as I can be. As believers, we've yelled, we've screamed, we've argued, we've put nonsense on social media, and our world is still lost and going to hell in a handbasket. To me, I would say, I don't think that's working. Maybe we need to take the model from our Jesus. Not know that there is five husbands, but know there can be forgiveness for those five husbands. And that as we show kindness and love, that as that drew us to repentance, it will draw others as well. But let's start with the one. Let's start with the one. So as I pray with you and for you, I ask that you would pray for that and that God would speak to your heart so you could be used this week in a powerful way. Father, we love you and we thank you. God, we're so thankful for you and all that you are and all that you've done for us. God, you are so good. You are so kind to us. And Father, I pray right now that God, we would follow the example of Boaz this morning, that we would show kindness to someone. And maybe it's even just somebody that could never repay it, never give it back. In a lot of ways, that's the story we see. Boaz is wealthy and he's connected and he's kind of in a great place. Ruth is a foreigner widow. I mean, she's kind of the lowest of the low. He didn't have to do this, and he instead shows kindness to her, takes care of her. And so, Father, with all that in mind, with all these things, God, I pray right now for each individual that's here, each person that's online in this moment, that, God, you would place in their mind a person. That they would literally ask, God, who is it that you want me to show kindness to this week? And that, Father, through your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be very clear right now. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a kid, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a stranger, maybe it's a neighbor. You know, you've been fighting with this neighbor over the fence for the last 3 years or whatever. I don't know. But God, it's somebody. I truly believe that you want every single individual, that if they will open their hearts to you, you will speak to them and share with them that person, that one. And then, Father, after you've done that, God, I pray that you would equip me, because you've shared with me who I need to be kind to, that you would equip me and you would equip us all to be people that bring forth your kindness in a world that is so void of that. That, Father, you would help us. That, God, this week, that we would be as you and show kindness to our world and allow the power of that kindness to change the destinies of people. Because God, you are that awesome and you can use us in that way. So speak to us, equip us, and help us. We love you. We thank you. You're so good. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Awesome. So listen, I know Pastor Sarah did mention it, but I do want to mention it again. We do need two more people that can help us with one turkey and one ham. We are kind of getting down to the end of this, obviously, because we want to have these items to give to you next Sunday. So if you're interested and you can help us out with that, that'd be great. Also, don't forget to sign up for just a regular dish and things like that to bring. The Thanksgiving time is always such a great special time. So really looking forward to that. And it's crazy to say it, but it's 2 weeks from today. So it's going to be here before we know it, and it's going to be awesome. So I'm going to remind you of that, okay? So thank you so much for being here. For those that are online, we love you. We miss you. We hope that you're well wherever you might be. Have a great week, and all of you have a great week as well. I look forward to hearing about the stories that God is going to write this week because of your kindness. So don't not share them with me. Let me know so that I can celebrate with you, all right? Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.